Well, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
And he is risen.
He's
risen. He absolutely is. Hey, how many of you guys know about the Easter advantage that we've got here up north? We got an Easter advantage because every year in the season of Lent, it lines up with what Easter is about. We're making this transition from the cold, dark winter months into the spring. So we got this advantage. And some years, that advantage we've got, boy, from darkness to death, from light to life to seeing it, it's really, really dramatic. And if you guys remember, it was a while ago, but we had those two winters back to back. I looked it up too. We had more than 5 feet of snow in back-to-back years. In my neighborhood, I don't live very far from here, I'm just down the road in Shoreview, the snow was piled up so high that the mailboxes, some people's mailboxes, all you could see was the little door. That's it. They go out there. You remember that? Okay. And then I remember it was like treacherous to back out of your driveway because the snow was so high, you couldn't even see over it. I've got that vivid memory too. I remember I was coming back. It was late from a meeting and it was the middle of March and I'm looking out and it looked like mid-January because the wind was blowing. And you know how in January there's that really light snow when it gets cold? That was wisping across the roads. And I'm like, this is not March. Well, our family had a chance to go to Florida that for spring break, one of those 2 years. And I remember in the airport, I've never felt this the same way before. There was this collective dark cloud in that airport. People weren't saying it, but you could feel it. They were just like, get me out of this godforsaken state. I'm serious. You could just feel it. Like, get me out of here now. When it comes to winter, it's not just the cold. It's the darkness for a lot of people. That's a really, really big deal. In fact, I think many of you have heard of something called seasonal affective disorder. Let's put those words up on the screen. This is a real thing. In those cold, dark winter months, an estimated 10 million people experience symptoms that are depression-like. They're the same symptoms as depression. And I looked this up. Do you know who's got the highest rates for seasonal affective disorder? It's women who live in this up north where we are. The condition is very well named. If we could keep that on the screen for a second, if we could highlight the first three letters of each of those words. I don't know how I missed that all those years. First three letters, sad. When you take away the sun, cue the slide, take away the sun, you get sad when you take away the sun. Well, one of the things that some people find helpful, there's a number of people that have these, in the cold, dark months, they have these things called happy lights. And so what these things are supposed to do is you turn these on in those cold, dark winter months, and they're supposed to help you a little bit. Now, I'm not going to argue whether they do or don't. If they do, that's great. But here's something that I think everybody can agree on. This happy light is no substitute for the real thing. Can we all agree on that? It might be helpful to some people, but I think everyone agrees this happy light, it's not like the real sun. Let me give you an example. If you live in Minnesota and it's been a long, cold, cloudy winter, what happens when we get that first warm, sunny day? Neighborhoods just come alive, don't they? We come out of our tombs. We come into the sun. They spring to life. People go on walks. Kids play in the driveways. Bikes come out of storage. There's laughter. There's smiles. There's golfing. There's trips to Dairy Queen. Now, here's the thing. You could grab some duct tape. You could grab a really long extension cord. You could take this happy light. You could put it at the top of the Shoreview Towers. Strap it up there. You could turn it on 11. Get this thing way cranked up. You could point it to the closest neighborhood. People are not going to start coming out. They're not going to be all cheery, all those kind of things. A happy light is no substitute for the real thing. And there's more to the sun than just brightening up our day, isn't there? When the sun disappears, if it were to disappear, happy light's not going to save us. You got an extension cord that's 93 million miles long. And the sun somehow disappears. You run that extension cord, put this thing where the sun is supposed to be. What's going to happen to the orbits of our galaxy? What's going to happen to Earth? Is Earth going to stay in orbit? Is Jupiter going to stay in orbit? Or everybody's favorite planet, Pluto. She is a planet. My mind. They're not going to stay in orbit. Our whole galaxy falls apart. Everything that lives dies. This thing is no substitute. If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. There is no life without the sun. There's no life without the sun. Okay, let's bring this back then to where we started with this whole idea of Lent and Easter. 7 weeks ago, we had an honest conversation about Jesus of Nazareth. And even if you don't believe that he is everything that the Bible says he is, I hope we can all agree that the further you get away from Jesus, the darker our world gets. And the more you become like Jesus, the more you follow what he modeled, what he taught, the more light you bring into this world. The real Jesus, what he modeled and taught. When people settle for lies instead of the truth, when people settle for greed instead of generosity, when people settle for selfishness instead of sacrifice, when people settle for hypocrisy instead of integrity, when people settle for hate instead of love, when people abuse their strength and abuse their agency instead of using it for good, when deceiving and manipulative voices and spirits aren't tested, when they're not held in check, when people mistake a lesser for the real, our world becomes a colder and darker place. The question we've been wrestling with then as a church family over the last 7 weeks is, what is authentic faith? What does that look like? What is authentic? Authentic faith in the real Jesus look like? Well, fortunately, we're not the first people to wrestle with this question. A disciple of Jesus named John, he answered it directly. If you have your Bible with you, please open with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. This is the purpose statement for this letter from this disciple. Hey, if you don't have a Bible at home, we want to encourage you right now, hit pause and go to Bible.com. They've got a great free app that you can download. All right, here's what it says, his purpose statement for this letter. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Here we find the reason that John wrote this letter. Now let's zoom in on a couple of these words here for just a minute. And if we could leave the highlighted words on the screen, Mike, thanks. All right, John wrote this letter so that we would know. He emphasized that word know, and he uses the Greek word eido in there. There's no direct equivalent to eido in the English language. It's closely related to seeing something, but the Greeks have a word for seeing with your eyes, blepo. So it's more than that. When you eido something, you don't just see it with your eyes. When you eido something, you see it here, and you see it here. You know it here, and you know it here. It's a different kind of understanding. All right, so what does John say about this thing? Like, what does he say we can know like that? He says that we can know in an idle way the path that we're on can lead us to Ionius Zoe, Ionius Zoe, to everlasting life, to an amplified, joy-filled, elevated existence that begins now and continues into the eternity. John says you can know that that's the path you're on. Well, if you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write down one of the things that John included in his letter. He said, I write these things. Here's one of the things. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever has the Son has life. Let's take a look at that full verse. It actually comes right before the verse we just read. Whoever has the Son has life. And he adds this, whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And throughout his letter, John warns us. He warns us about false teachers. He warns us about Jesus' variants. He warns us about entities that he calls antichrists. And he considers these to not only be lessers, he considers them to be liars. This was really interesting. I looked up that Greek word for liar, and I found out in this letter, this whole authentic faith in Jesus that is about authentic faith in Jesus, John calls out liars more than any other New Testament author. How much so? In the entire New Testament, liars, as in the noun, as in you are a liar, it's only used 10 times. It's a really strong word, only used 10 times. John uses it 7 of those 10 times. 5 of the 7 are in 1 John. So in this letter about, I'm trying to tell you what authentic faith is, he's calling out liars more than any other New Testament author by far. He is focused like a heat-seeking missile. He wants to help us know what's real. And he offers several specific examples of what authentic faith looks like in the real Jesus. So he offers a bunch of them. We're going to boil it down this Easter Sunday to 2. Boil it down to 2. Here are 2 things about authentic faith, and I encourage you to write down 1. If you want to experience authentic, enduring, and life-giving faith, 1, stay away from idols, he says. 1, stay away from idols. In fact, here is the last sentence in John's letter. This is it. This is how he ends this letter that we've been looking at for the last 7 weeks. Now, pay close attention to that last word in the final warning. Last verse, 1 John 5. Little children, keep yourselves from what? From idols. And there's the Greek word, eidolon. I'm not a linguist, but does that Greek word for idol, eidolon, does that look like another word that he used earlier that we were looking at? Let's put them both on the screen together and see if it's just me or see if these look the same at all to you. So eido is to know based on evidence and experience. And then you got eidolon, which are ideas, images, phantoms, parodies of the truth. It's anything that can lead you astray. Look how close those words are to one another. They look similar to me, at least. That first word, eido, it's about knowing. A slightly different word is something very different. Idols pull people away precisely because they look a lot like the real thing. That's what makes them so deceptive. And here's what John says about that in his closing words. So here's verses 20 and 21 in a translation that's a little bit easier to understand. The Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Be aware of idols, John says. In fact, do more than that. He says, keep away from them. Don't just be aware that they're there. Keep away from them are his words. And here's the thing. As you're putting distance between yourself and the idol, all right, I'm keeping away from that. It's not just like, I'm running away just in terror. You want to go towards something. If you're running away from the idols, what direction are you going? If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. You want to experience authentic, enduring, life-giving faith, stay away from idols, 1, and walk towards the, 2, walk towards the light. So you're not just walking away from something or running away from something. You're going towards something. You're going towards the light. Don't settle. Don't settle for the almost, because the almost isn't as close as you might think it would if you're talking about God here. Don't settle for a lesser life when you're made for more. In his biography of Jesus' life, John points us to the real Jesus, who was with God and was God from the beginning. Who is light? Who is life? My friends, my brothers, my sisters, don't settle for a lesser when you're made for more. Get to know the real Jesus. The real Jesus who came to destroy the devil's work, whose death and resurrection buries our past. My brothers and sisters, your past is buried. Why would you want to go back to it? Don't settle for the lesser when you're made for more. Last week, Palm Sunday, we sang our praises to Holy Week Jesus. And I got more than a little worked up at the live services on this. The real Holy Week Jesus, our scripture fulfilling, child welcoming, leper touching, bridge building, foot washing, table turning, Satan confronting, Father trusting, cross carrying, death defying, sin cleansing, justice ensuring, faithfulness rewarding, eternity securing, true Son of the living God, who left to prepare a place for us and who's coming back for his bride, the church. Amen. I once heard somebody say this. I wish I could remember who they were. We become what we what? We become what we behold. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, don't fix your eyes on lesser when you can behold something more. The Word of God says this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It's passing and it's here. The darkness is passing and the light is come. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, don't settle for lesser things that are passing away when we've been invited to experience greater things that won't. Let's fly towards the light. There's a new Superman movie coming out, I think like this summer. What does Superman do when he needs that power? He flies towards the, right? Let's go towards that light. He needs it for strength. We need that sun. Fly towards it. Don't settle for less. The real Jesus, let me give you a couple concrete examples before we close here. The real Jesus, he taught us to welcome the children. Isn't life better when we do that? When we authentically do that? I think about last week, we had our Palm Sunday services, if you're new here, and at the community center, we had 200 people in that palm procession. 200! Since 150 kids, like 150 kids. And one of the things I loved most was watching, we had this slideshow, these pictures, and watching the older slideshows where some of these kids, you then watch later in the progression of the slideshow, the people who were the kids were now holding the hands of some of new kids, right? So the older ones are now doing what was done for them. And this goes beyond Palm Sunday. I've shared some of this before, some of you guys. It doesn't end there. In two of the pictures, there were two boys. They were 3-footers back then. They are 6-foot-plus right now. And what does Jaden do? Jaden drives down from Bemidji as a college student so he can pour into middle schoolers at our retreats. What is Micah? Micah was one of those 3-footers. He's not a 3-footer anymore. He's 6-foot-plus. He flies all the way up from Texas to get up to camp so that he can pour into these middle school students. Why? Because they want to help others experience real life. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. In the heart of winter, this last winter, we did a teaching series. We did a teaching series about the real difference that real faith can make in your life. In a cold, dark season that you're going through. Dan from our worship team, he shared how in a season of his life, how it was authentic Christianity that drew him back when lesser things had lured him away. Mary shared about how authentic faith sustained her as a young wife and as a young mother as everything began to fall apart. Real faith sustained her. Tina shared about how authentic faith sustained her and is sustaining her and her husband right now, her husband Drew, as they face a highly aggressive form of cancer. We call that series Evergreen because real, authentic faith can sustain us. The real thing, it can sustain us in those times. And not only that, it can inspire others like an evergreen out there on a cold January day. Don't settle for less. In part because other people will notice when you're going after the more. Other people will notice. This spring, let me give you one more example of this. This spring, I was sitting at a table read right in the room. We call it the forum right down here. I was at a table read for the skit team. They were getting ready for camp, and it was all these teenagers, and Emma was heading up the meeting, so you can verify this. So we're in this room, we're having this table read for the skit, and all of a sudden, one of our high schoolers got a text. Now, that's not abnormal, but what happened afterwards was she started telling us, Catherine started telling us about this text. Her family's involved in the Juntos ministry, our new bilingual ministry, and their family was helping another family that was brand new to the United States. And as they were helping out, a conversation came up that the kids loved to color, but they didn't have anything to color with, and they didn't have anything to color on. And this text was from her dad, from Eric. And this text was Eric just taking a picture of these coloring books that he had gone to get and some colors, and he was going to drop them off. I've been involved with teenagers for like 40 years. I could probably count in my one hand the number of times where a kid is talking about their parents with the same joy that we saw on her face in that meeting. She was just excited to share about her dad getting colors for these kids. It was really, really cool. This act of kindness in Jesus' name that her dad did for that family lit her up, and she was excited to share it with the rest of the room. There is a faith. There is a faith that still inspires young men to leave their nets or their college dorms, right? Because it's real and they want to go after it. There is a faith that still shines like a light in a dark room or like an evergreen on a January day. And there is a faith that still gives our kids a compelling picture of what it looks like when a parent says, "As for us and our house, we serve the Lord." My friends, brothers, and sisters, let's not settle for a lesser, because those who have the Son, we have life. We have life. And you will experience more of that life if you stay away from what? Idols. And you walk towards the light. Let's ask God to do that right here, right now, this Easter. This Lent, we've been teaching you a song, and that song we've been teaching you for this moment. It's about not settling. It's about going after the life that is ours. Let's pray and make this our Easter anthem. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you invite us into life. Thank you for showing us that life continues in your Son, that death can't stop what you're doing, and that this is what you say is the first fruit of life to come, of what we can expect, all who are in you. So Lord, we pray right here, right now, wherever we are, we can take this song and make it our Easter anthem. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.